morning and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday for January 1st, 2012. Yeah, indeed. I'm Koyo Kobose, your host. Glad you joined us today on this New Year's Day. Very special day. I have a little sort of a format sheet of paper for each broadcast. And I put the date on it, and there's a Japanese word, yappari, which means sure enough. And when I wrote it down, I didn't realize it, but just as I was saying it, well, today is January 1st, and I had written 2011. Yappari, huh? Sure enough. We're going to be doing that for a little while. Force of habit. 2012, well, year of the dragon in the Chinese animal zodiac calendar. Well, I want to introduce our guest for this auspicious day. It's Don Kobose, my older brother. He lives in Fowler, California, which is just south of Fresno. For you non-Californians, Fresno is right smack in the middle of the state, right between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Fowler was a place where many Japanese Americans, first generation, they call it Issei, they come over from Japan, maybe right around the turn of the century, and many of them settled in the Central Valley here, well, all over California, but in the Central Valley, you know, California, right down the length of the state, they designate the broad areas as valleys between the oceans, between the Pacific Ocean on the west and to the east, the Sierra Nevada mountain ranges. And the valley, Sacramento Valley, and then the central part is called the San Joaquin Valley. And you go south toward Bakersfield and L.A., and it's called the Imperial Valley. So the Central Valley is the world's most productive farming area. And the world's fruit and vegetables are grown here. Artichokes, garlic. Gilroy is the garlic capital of the world. And Fowler area is known for raisins. And many people, Japanese Americans, first generation, second generation, my brother and I are third generation, meaning that our parents were born here. My mother was born and raised in Fowler, very small town. My grandparents had a grape farm, 40 acres of grapes for raisins. She was a farm girl, our mom. And, of course, when the Second World War broke out, then about 100,000 Japanese Americans Japanese, all Japanese nationals and people of Japanese background were put into internment camps scattered across in desolate areas. And it was after camp then that a lot of people went to different areas in the country. Chicago was one of them where jobs were plentiful, or the opportunity was there. So many people went there right after camps. And then they stayed for a few years, and some of them came back to California and some stayed. But this is the reason that my father, who was a Buddhist minister, during that time and during camp too, relocated to Chicago because there was a big population, maybe 10,000-20,000 people there that and they needed a Buddhist church. And so we, our family, relocated to Chicago, and that's where I was raised. My older brother, in fact, right after my parents got married in 1935, they went, my father went to Japan for 5 years to study with his teacher, Reverend Haya Akigarasu, at the temple in Japan. The temple's name was Myotatsuji, and my brother was born there. And in July of 1941, they came back on the next to the last ship that left Japan before the war broke out. My brother, I like to mention that he was very instrumental in supporting the Bright Dawn Center here, and he facilitated all the he was sort of the liaison, because we were in the Midwest, and got in because of him we got interested in this particular property that that is our home in Coarse Gold, and he was the liaison and did all the legwork for the purchase of this property. So he was very instrumental in these nitty-gritty things that resulted in our home of Bright Dawn Center here in Coarse Gold. And Coarse Gold, I think, is an auspicious name because, you know, in the Buddhist literature, there's a phrase, bits of rubble turn into gold, bits of gold. When the light of the Dharma, and awareness shine on that. And, of course, then fine when it comes to gold, because coarse means it's more like nugget-like, you know? And so I often think of that, the coarse gold, very auspicious, because no matter what's happening, bits of rubble, if you see it with the right eye, your third eye of wisdom, what looks like bits of rubble is transformed into gold. So it is our very human defilements or limitations, bits of rubble, that when you frame them in the Dharma and with right understanding, which is the first of the Eightfold Path, we find that that is like gold. That is what is the basis of leading to living an enlightened life. Okay. Without further ado then, I'd like to introduce and have Don Kubose give us a Dharma glimpse for January 1st.
Hi, it's January 1st, 2012. Happy New Year. The topic for this Dharma glimpse is Know Yourself. As I get older, I realize more and more how important this is. I feel that the less you know about yourself, the harder it is to appreciate life, and the more you know about yourself, the more you can enjoy and appreciate life. The younger you are, when you realize this, the better. This is particularly important since if you know what you want to pursue in your studies and know what you want to do to earn a living, the more satisfaction you will have. You want to avoid just drifting with the current in the river of life, and not have some control or idea where you are headed. If you can set some goals and steer yourself in the direction you want to go, you will be greatly rewarded. You need to do a lot of self-introspection to get to know yourself. not an easy thing to do in this fast-paced world with large changes occurring almost daily. It helps to be able to differentiate the important from the trivial in your life to do this. This may sound easy, but it is more difficult than it sounds. But the more you get to know yourself, the easier this becomes. One approach is to get down to the basics. By this I mean, you need to think about the very beginning of things. Just as physicists, in trying to understand how the universe began, break everything down to its smallest parts. They started with the atoms, and then the neutrons and protons and electrons that make up the atom, and now they're looking at the subnuclear particles, which are the precursors to those parts of the atom. This approach to what is going on in your life can enable you to see the progression of how things have developed and understand them better. This can also help you to separate the trivial from the important. The closing of the new year and the beginning of the new year offers a good opportunity to look at the basics of your life. Take the time to slow down and assess yourself. Do you think you can shut off your cell phone and stay away from the computer for one day? That sounds like a hard thing to do, but it might be just the thing to get you started on a self-introspection trip. My koi pond requires a daily cleaning of the skimmer drain that collects the algae leaves and debris. This takes less than a minute to do, but it gives me the focus to think about and look at the koi and to see that they're doing okay. Pick out a similar task in your life that can act as a daily focus point for you to begin your day and to refresh your inner thoughts and to see if this is a way to see that you're doing okay. So think about these things and give this year a really good, fresh start. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don. As I listen to this Dharma glimpse, I was reminded that one of my father's teacher, Reverend Haya Akigatasu's, one of his favorite sayings was, first, know yourself. And this is a classic saying in the Buddhist literature. And in fact, I have a calligraphy of that saying written by Reverend Haya Akigatasu. During the time in Japan when my father was living at Myotatsuji Temple and accompanied his teacher on lecture tours all over Asia and so forth, Reverend Akigatasu would do some calligraphy with sumi-e brush, and very traditionally it's done on what's called a shikishi, which is maybe 12-inch by 12-inch sort of cardboard, I guess. It's heavier than paper, but has a nice white surface, sometimes maybe a gold, little gold border around it, and calligraphy poems will be written on this, and then these can be displayed on a scroll, wall hanging scroll, little strings that you could put the four corners in of this shikishi. And so Reverend Akigatasu, he would, you know, write a lot of poems, religious poems, and my father had quite a few of these that Reverend Akigatasu had given to him. And so after my father passed away and some of these came to me, and they are treasures. And, of course, they're signed by whoever wrote the calligraphy, famous teachers, and then they'd put their hanko or their stamp, you know, with their name, sort of in the red, with the red clay ink. Okay. And I have one that says, first, know yourself. And we might say that self-introspection or knowing oneself, you see, well, first of all, I think it's interesting that it says, first, know yourself. Before you study teachings about Buddhism, you have to be oriented in the correct direction, in a sense, before you start traveling. And it's interesting because I think most religious approaches, they'll say, oh, you better... Don't be concerned with yourself. You better look at the deity. You look outside, externally. But here Buddhism says, look inward, self-introspection, and first, know yourself. Because everything comes through a filter, your self-filter, through your own mind, your own emotions, feelings, your attitudes. And if you don't know yourself as a human being and what that means, you will get a slanted view of everything. And this reminded me of a trilogy that I heard a long time ago. I don't know exactly. Well, it has to do with very broad, not just religious, but scientific, about knowledge about the world, and how we advance as a civilization, as human beings. And the point here is that, you know, when big advances revolutionize our understanding, don't come about from science in the sense of a big invention, you know, as dramatic as technology is, what is even more basic is how everything impacts how we see ourselves. That's the crucial thing. And there's this trilogy, a three-part thing about how we see ourselves in the sort of the history of human civilization. And religion is tied into this because religion, some religious approaches have a cosmology. That is, they have an idea about who created, where we came from, and all of this. And although Buddhism is a little bit, again, different here, you know, it doesn't concern itself so much with those kinds of unknowable things, even though religion says, hey, we're more basic than science because God did this or God created the world, and so forth. Buddhism says, well, you know, poison arrow parable. Here, you know, you're shot with a poison arrow. Here, you know, save the man's life. Don't worry about where the arrow came from, who shot it, and what was the guy wearing, what direction did it come from, and all this. Okay, you got some immediate how to live right now. Okay, let's go to this trilogy. The first part of the trilogy has to do with physics. And it said that the Earth is the center of the universe. And you can see how this might make some sense when you look out and you see the seems like everything revolves around the Earth. Moon, sun, stars, we're the center of the universe, created in God's image. You see? And this is why science and religion had a lot of battles. This is why, you know, Galileo and other people say, hey, heretic, you get burned at the stake. Well, along comes Copernicus, who says, no, Earth is not the center of the physical center of the universe. We go around the sun. It looks like the sun goes around, us, but actually we're going around, you know, we could show. And this changed the whole, you know, basis of our physical existence here. And then what happens is the next part of the trilogy has to do with biology. And it says, well, okay, the Earth is not the center of the universe, but here on Earth, we humans are special. Again, made in the image of God, you know, and all the implications for to support their religious beliefs and so forth. And along comes Darwin, who says, hey, this is, you know, nature and animals, and this is how things developed. And you could see that issue, you know, still rearing its head up. Evolution versus, you know, well, no, man was created, so forth. And this supports our religion and our beliefs. But to thinking people, common sense and science, oh, it's going to win the day, you know. And says, okay, Earth is not the center of the universe, and we human beings are animals, but we're special animals. We're thinking animals. We're rational. We're different. We got souls. Animals, lower animals don't have souls. Okay, and so forth. Go to heaven and everything. This kind of idea. So you're still holding on to our divinity, in a sense. And then along comes psychology and says, you know, maybe Freud, let's say, you know, we think that we're in control, that we're rational and logical, and we could, you know. But, you know, when I see the id, I see people on the couch and say, oh, I hate my mother. You know, I mean, it comes out. We're not rational animals. We're rationalizing animals. There's a cesspool of impulses that rage under there that we're not even aware of, and we got all these defense mechanisms. And this is all part of knowing oneself and one's who one is, what one's place is in this world, in this universe. You know, seeing things as they are, not as we want them to be. You know, sometimes we're still victim of this kind of human ignorance, but at least we could try to minimize it by being aware of it, even though we can't get rid of that kind of filters. But these changes, Copernicus, Darwin, psychology, drastic. It's like the water that fish swim in. Most people they're not even aware that these broad institutions and ways of being, attitudes, these meta assumptions, you might call them, you know, color the whole way we live. We're not even aware of them. They're so basic. The fish is not aware of the water. Says, yeah, this is, you know, my environment. This is the environment of ideas about how we see ourselves. And you will notice that these revolutionizing ideas all came at the expense of knocking man or human beings off of the pedestal. We wanted to see ourselves as special, unique. And we are, in a certain sense. but not in the sense that what this trilogy is talking about. Okay. Because we could ground our value and uniqueness on the naturalness of the nature's laws and the way things really are. Okay. Not on some fabrication, okay, that supports our ego-centered desires and self-centered views of things. Now, I sort of added to this trilogy and made it a tetralogy, or if I want to add the fourth aspect, I could say religiously, okay, not just physics, biology, psychology, but now spirituality and religious view, that the Buddha comes in and says, well, you know, with his teaching of non-self, says, oh, instead of just all this bolstering up or knocking down of self, let's just take the sword of wisdom and cut the whole idea of self, slice it, okay, of self as a non-changing entity per se. Sure, we have a self, but the self is like a river, huh? Flowing, dynamic. It's like a candle flame. It looks like it is there, but the combustion dynamicness of that candle flame, it's not a plastic flame. You know, it's the teaching or the law of impermanence, constant change, interdependency, huh? Holds for self too, as well as all things in this world. And science is discovering this all the time. So I think as this new year starts, we should really empty ourselves out of not only the past year, but have beginner's mind spiritually and always be aware of, try to minimize our filter of our attachments to our defense mechanisms, you know, because those are the cause of our own suffering and suffering of others. They go hand in hand. And what then is my Buddhism? Huh? Get down to the basics of it. Okay, make sure you're facing in the right direction. First, know yourself. Like it is said, how can you go, let's say south. How can you go south if your cart is facing north? So at least from this beginning of this new year, January, named after the Greek god Janus, which has, you know, it depicts a face that's looking in the opposite directions, sometimes even in four directions at the same time. Hey, that's, you know, a wisdom, being able, not just seeing in one thing, one way, my way or the highway. He says, hey, I could see this. See? That's all for today's broadcast. And until next time, you keep going. And indeed, you have a very beautiful New Year's Day.